It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I can't complain. It's a beautiful, cloudy day outside. A
beautifully, beautiful cloudy day, yes.
I like cloudy days. How about you?
I don't mind them. I don't mind the rain either.
Well,
I don't care if it rains.
I like cloudy days because on the days that we record the show, then this way I get to see your eyes.
Oh, okay, yeah. I could use those right now because I'm feeling it, too.
You're feeling it.
Here they are.
You're feeling what? The cocaine or the barbiturates or... he's back into Stevie Wonder mode. Yeah. No, actually, you look more like Ray Charles with those glasses on.
Yeah, I just need a keyboard in front of me. Which I just
there's one there.
May have for the show today.
You're going to use some keys for some songwriting?
No, I won't. I'm not much of a key player.
You sound very low-key today, though.
What do you mean?
Get that low-key keyboard. Yeah, never mind. Well, last night you were not low-key at all.
No.
You were rocking it out at The Loop in Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a good night. It was a cool night, in spite of all the issues I had last night.
You had guitar issues.
Yeah, I definitely had guitar issues.
And monitor issues.
You know, it was worse for me. Yeah, monitor issues too, which I didn't mind bass in my monitor, which you couldn't get out. But once everything started, it was so muddy. The bass was just mud. I couldn't make anything out from it, but I couldn't hear me singing. For another thing,
yeah,
out of those monitors,
that's horrible.
And you know what the worst part was for me? I had a really bad issue with my what I thought was my guitar cable and my wireless. So I was going to go wireless, but I couldn't. So I hardwired my guitar, and I still thought there was issues with the cable or whatever. But it turns out, apparently, it's a jack in my guitar.
Right.
But it happens partway through the set. Well, I had taken the mic stand and my board, my pedal board, and moved everything way over to the left. Because I needed more room to get in front of the drum kit. I want to move the room to get around.
Right.
Because we were up a little closer to the front, right?
Yeah.
And so what happens is I move me out of a light.
Oh, right.
So I have no light on my guitar, really.
Oh, right.
And while I don't need it all the time, but
it's
there
nice
are some songs where I need to look at it.
Yeah.
And but the worst part was that when I switch guitars... I very rarely use my Firebrand anymore. I always use the SG.
Right.
The SG has a white strip on the top with the black inlays.
On the neck.
And I can see it really well.
Right.
And so even though I had moved and didn't have a light coming down in a spot, like my neck was in black, right, for most of the time, but
yeah.
I could still see that strip.
Sure.
So I was okay.
Yeah.
But then after that, I had to switch the guitar, and the other one doesn't have a strip across the top. It's just black, dark, what's the wood, rosewood fretboard.
Yeah.
And that's what you see on the side.
No markings
so
at all?
It's got little black dots, but...
That's on rosewood, yeah.
I can't see anything.
Not on a
I
dark
I can't
stage.
See anything anyway.
I know.
But that white strip I can see. And I was like, wow, that sucks, man. So I was constantly trying to look at the front of it. So I don't know how noticeable that was, but that was my big issue. It wasn't even the cable thing, which was ongoing, too, for like probably three songs or something with the cable
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, we could tell.
Trying
it was...
to figure out what was going on and yanking my cable on stage. But it was a cool night. It was fun.
Unfortunately, the opening band couldn't make it. Dave Bracewell's Bad Moon.
Black Dog Moon. I was looking forward to seeing that because I haven't seen him playing that type of a band set up for a while, like a three-piece, you know, rock band or metal or whatever he was playing.
So he's a three-piece as well.
Yeah, three-piece, I guess, and but he's generally been acoustic for quite a while. Acoustic Fire, what he was going by, and he was just playing himself.
Oh, okay.
So this
would have been
three-piece
bands.
Yeah.
Because the headliner was Psycho, and they're also a three-piece band.
Yep.
What do you think's up with that?
What, the three-piece thing?
The three-piece thing, yeah.
I don't know. I think that for us, myself and Psycho probably is just the fact that we came from three-piece Wicked Angel, right? And Mike was with me and he went off and did a three-piece just like, you know what I mean? We kind of always been into this
right.
guitar bass thing, really.
So Mike was your bass player in Wicked Angel?
He was, yeah.
Oh, that's just, and what iteration of Wicked Angel was
first?
That? The very first deal when you guys were what, 18, 17?
Yeah, we were pretty young, in high school time. Anyway,
awesome.
That's when it all started, and yeah, it was a blast. And I don't know, there'll probably be some stuff posted online. You sent me a picture like last night or this morning. That was cool. I posted it. Do you have any news this morning?
I do have some news. Paul Simon and Edie Brickell. Did you even know they were married?
Of course.
Did you seriously?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. They've been married a long time now. I saw Edie Brickell in New York. It was awesome. Free concert in Central Park.
That's awesome, too.
And the biggest scary black dude was like security.
Yeah.
And I walk in and I'm visiting, right? New York. And I have my video camera in my, I have a video camera in my bag. And I couldn't do anything with it. Like, it's just open up the bag and he looks inside. He says, oh, you got a video camera in there. You can't bring that in. I said, well, I won't use it. He said, okay, don't use it.
That was it.
Yeah. I filmed all kinds of it. But he was scary. I was like really looking around for him while I was doing it.
No doubt.
He was a big guy.
That's your recollection of Edie Brickell.
But it was awesome. Like, I've been in Edie Brickell for long before that, right from her first Shooting Rubber Bands at the Moon or whatever it was called in the 80s. Yeah. And got turned on to that by my buddy Dan Dufresne, who's an amazing guitar player, best I've ever known. His sister was in Edie Brickell at the time when I used to hang out with him back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that's how I got turned on to the Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars or whatever it was. I think it was Stars. And from there on, I bought every Edie Brickell album that there's been, unless there's something new that I don't know about now.
Oh, I have no idea.
What are you going to tell us?
I was going to tell you that her and Paul Simon are...
doing something?
Yeah, they're fighting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's a lot older than her.
Is he? I mean, he's older, but...
quite a bit older than her, I think, yeah.
I want to say that she's around your age.
I guess she's not that young anymore, but...
Paul's got to be in his 60s for sure.
I've seen her on like Letterman and stuff, too. It was great. Baby, baby, black and blue, it's all on you. She's a great songwriter. And she does some cool stuff that's just acoustic and singing, and I like that.
And you have some of her on tap today? Some Edie Brickell?
No, I don't.
No.
Okay. I don't, know.
Maybe on a future show. She's awesome.
I love Edie Brickell.
That's funny. I would have never got that. That's
another band that I would play for.
Huey Lewis.
Her and Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis and Edie Brickell.
And she had a great band, too, man. Like a really cool, the New Bohemians. Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians, they were great, man. Like fretless bass, and the guitar player was awesome. They got some stuff that was kind of like heavy, but real alternative stuff, right?
Right. And
everything, but cool.
Like you say, good songwriting. That's one thing I recall about her. She had really good songwriting.
Did you bring some? No.
I didn't bring any Edie Brickell. But anyway, the cops were called to their house in New Canaan, Connecticut.
Yeah?
And there was a
who
family.
Lives in Connecticut?
All the rich people.
They're the only people that know, is it?
Yeah, if you...
Oh, New Haven, okay, yeah.
It's New Canaan, is
yeah, New Canaan, that's what I meant.
Canaan. Whatever you call it. But like people like David Letterman live there, and it's where you live if you want to be part of the New York City scene.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't want to live in that mayhem.
I thought that was Jersey.
I think Jersey's all filled. I think it's all filled up.
Yeah.
But Connecticut is like the New Jersey. The new New Jersey. Because if you get David Letterman on, like when he's talking to some guests on there, like Robert De Niro and whoever else, he says, you know, you're my neighbor. You're literally my neighbor. Yeah. And, you know, well, how come you don't come on my show more often? So it seems like a lot of people who are in the New York scene who want the sprawling mansion still, though.
Right.
They have a house out in Connecticut. And they might also have a flat or something in New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in other news, I see that there's going to be a new movie coming out about Alice Cooper's, it would be like a...
life?
Yeah, about his life, or the life,
life of, and times of Alice Cooper.
His musical life, anyway. It'll probably end up...
What's that? What would the acronym be for that? Life and Times of Alice Cooper. L-A-T. Latok. Okay. It's nothing. Go on.
What did you think it was? Lactose?
I don't know. I thought it might be something cool.
I'm lactose intolerant. I can't watch any Alice Cooper movies. Yeah, so I was just watching a trailer of it, and it seems pretty cool. I'm a big Alice Cooper fan, and I think the story has a lot to do with Shep Gordon. mm-hmm. who was Alice Cooper's manager. And I think he still is the manager. Like, they have a lifelong friendship with each other. And in this one here, it says that he went to this hotel where there was a lot of bands staying at Jefferson Airplane, Chambers Brothers, somebody else, another hippie type band. Mm-hmm. And they were staying at the, I want to say it's the Landmark Hotel in Los Angeles. And he goes there and he meets Shep. And Shep takes him to this hotel room. And these guys say that one joint would last them like a whole week because it's all they had. And they were really scrimping. Like, they take one toke each and they put it out really fast so you don't waste any. And they walk into this room and it's just smoke filled. Like, they open a door and they can't see anything. And they walk a couple feet and there's Janis Joplin sitting on a chair. Ooh. And then they walk a couple more feet. Oh, there's Jim Morrison. And they're sharing a doobie. And then they walk a little farther.
Not Hendrix. Don't tell me Hendrix
was there. And Hendrix was there too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
They all died.
Yeah.
No, at 27.
Yeah.
It's kind of a coincidence. But they were all, we knew that they were all.
The 27 Club, we can have a show on at some point. But go on.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Rockstar deaths, whatever. We can have it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then this Shep guy goes over to a drawer of the dresser in the hotel room, just opens it up, and it was full of pot. He just reaches and grabs a handful, and the chef guy says, "You know, I'd like to be your manager." And they're like, "You're the dude with the weed." "Yeah, sure, you can be our manager, no problem." And I guess they met Frank Zappa there too.
Oh yeah,
and I think Frank was the one who actually, from what I understand from Alice's biography, which is 12 steps. For a rock and roll golfer or something. I forget what it was. But it's a very good biography that I would recommend to anybody reading. He said that him and Frank had a talk, and Frank really said, "You need a manager going forward, and this Shep guy seems to be the dude to do it."
Mm-hmm.
And he was a parole officer before that, the Shep guy. Shep Gordon, not to be confused with Flash. Do you have any news, Big JD?
I do have a couple quick pieces of news I guess I could get in. One is, I was reading an article about Accept, the band Accept, talking about how difficult it is these days for a metal band to...
Is that Accept or Accept?
Accept. A-C-C.
Yeah,
Accept. I said Accept, didn't I?
It makes it...
Accept.
Yeah, Accept.
Yeah.
Accept. Yeah.
Yeah, Accept. That's another show. So anyway, how difficult it was for a metal band to make it.
Was Randy Bachman in that?
No, he wasn't. But they loved Randy Bachman. It's pronounced Bachman, by the way, just so you know. And so where was I?
Accept.
Yeah, Accept. So talking about how difficult that it's not for the money that they do it. I guess, you know, they probably all do other things, you know, because they can't necessarily
survive,
support themselves fully doing that. And maybe they used to when they first came out or something, they had some bigger hits and things like that. But there are some metal bands that are obviously making good coin, like Metallica. Who are just talking, and they're great fans of Randy Bachman as well.
Well, that's where
I've heard.
That's
what Lippo told me.
James Hetfield got that growling kind of singing style.
I was reading that article and I just thought it was, you know, I was thinking about last night with Psycho, the return of Psycho, like they're just getting back into, you know, the metal scene kind of thing, and thinking, you know, like obviously got to do that for the love of music more than anything else, because
there's not
a lot of money. And
right.
I mean, it's bad enough the music industry now, let alone a metal band.
Band, yeah.
And
there were some hardcore fans there. People with their fists in the air singing all the lyrics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was cool. The other piece of news that I had was Judas Priest coming out with a new album. It's released in Canada, I think, July 15th. A new album. And let me tell you the title of that new album, if I can pull that up really quick. It was
Redeemer
of Souls, yeah. And I listened to the one track that they have released online, and it's really cool. It's like old school Priest.
Well, I think that's where they got it.
There's lots of songs on it too, like 18 or something.
That's good.
18, 19. So that's cool. I like Judas Priest. Another metal band. So all my news is metal today.
You're in a metal mode.
Yeah, I guess so.
I can understand that. Being soaked in metal last night. Now, I want to ask you, though, what kind of following did Psycho have back in the 80s? Were they like big in Europe, or they had they sold?
I think he, you know, Wicked Angel was really big in Europe, and I think you know, Mike kind of hung on to the coattail of that and started sending some stuff out. Like I gave him all, you know, everything I had as far as addresses and radio stations out there, all the stuff to send to. And I think he did some of that. I think he did okay, like
okay,
gained some popularity out there and stuff like that. Because Wicked Angel was huge in Europe. We had offers like to go to Europe all the time and everywhere else. And a lot of them that we just, for other reasons, that we just couldn't do it. But locally had a, you know, all everybody from high school and all that stuff. And they were all into Wicked Angel and followed Psycho. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We still, I mean, we had a really good following all the time, but, yeah, he did really, really good. And people were in it. You know what I mean? Lots of people, lots of friends and stuff like that. And it showed last night. There was lots of people out, which is cool, because it's hard to get a lot of people out these days, you know what I mean? And especially
night.
To see the same kind of music, because a lot of people's tastes have changed. And it was funny that so many people I talked to last night or talked about, like, oh, I love the blues, man, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And I just wouldn't necessarily have thought that, because some of them I hadn't seen for a while, and they were all, everybody was into metal, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's funny to see how everybody's taste changed over the time.
Well, I think people realize the importance blues had in, you know, creating a lot of
shaping
the music.
Everybody else's, yeah, the metal band careers and stuff.
Yeah.
And then that guy from the Blues Fest was there and said Boomer was supposed to come out. He wanted to see us and stuff. And he said, he told me, give me your number, because he wants us to do the casino thing again. So, well, I know I'll do that in October, but until then I can't do anything else.
Because you're a busy lad.
Yeah. Too much going on. But so that'll probably be our next gig. So just so everybody knows, sometime in October, you can start looking for the posters all over Facebook.
Because
we'll do something then.
For sure. Sounds good.
But yeah, Psycho's really cool. Nice comeback. The new songs are cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's the second full song that I've heard, and it's really good stuff. We, of course, did a video for the first one, My Intentions Were Good, but you can check out psychomusic.ca for more on Psycho. We'll listen to a couple tunes, and then we're going to get into today's show, which is part two of songwriting.
Yeah,
awesome. We're going to actually write the music for the song that we wrote last week, which was called Peek Away.
Peek Away.
Don't ask me how I remember that. But so firstly, we'll listen to Rory Gallagher used to be in a band called Taste a long time ago.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. And so that's the first thing on tap. If I don't sing, I'll cry. As you can see, I'm got the word sing in there. So I'm kind of, what do you call that? Like,
you're keeping with the theme.
Yeah, I got a theme going on. So Taste with Rory Gallagher. If I don't sing, I'll cry. And then you have on tap
an awesome singer-songwriter from back in the 60s, Carole King. And we're going to hear her singing Smack Water Jack from her Tapestry album.
And then we're back with songwriting part two on Big JD and Lippo.
In the morning.
You broke my heart, but you opened up my eyes. Yes, I've been a fool, but now I realize. If I can't walk, I'll fly. If I can't sing, I'll cry. Better.
He couldn't take no more abuse, so he shut down the congregation. You can't talk to a man with a shotgun in his hand.
Shotgun.
Now Big Jim the chief stood for law.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning, songwriting part two, and we're going to work on the music now for the song that we wrote, which is called
Peek Away.
Peek Away, yeah. And the song is loosely or not so loosely based on
Mr. Glenn Campbell.
Right.
He has peaked.
Ill.
And he's ill right now. He's got Alzheimer's, unfortunately. And they took him out of his house and they put him in a home for where he's going to be probably better taken care of. Mm-hmm. And so when we say loosely based, we mean that we are taking stuff from his life, his songs, and
yeah.
But
yeah.
It can apply
and it can
to
apply
anybody.
To any
yeah. So yeah. When JD's in the home, when he's got
it's not
Alzheimer's,
be too far off in the.
He will be able to we'll be able to sing this song about you for sure. Yeah.
Well, we'll be able to listen to it because we're going to record it. So
yeah, but we could actually write this song about you right now, though. I think
we can, sure,
because you definitely wrote a song about Gems, right?
I'm sure I have.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
How many songs did you say you had?
I don't know, thousands.
Thousands, yeah. So we're drawing upon thousands of songs written experience from the master here, Big JD.
The master, yeah, okay.
Well, so you've done something a thousand times.
I'm experienced in it, that's for sure.
Have you ever gone to a songwriting clinic or anything like that?
No, I never have.
No.
No.
I think they should have those around here. Yeah, and that's cool. And everything's good, but I just think that...
But it's interesting, to see what other people do, how they do it, and that kind of thing. But
I hear about them going on all the time in the Toronto area. I'm like, why can't we do that here?
We could.
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. We'll charge big bucks, though.
No charging.
It's just, I'm out. So yeah. we were talking a little bit pre-show about you know, how we were gonna structure this, and it was the, you know, obviously the, we were talking bars, how long it was gonna be. Am I boring? Am I keeping you up?
How come I can't just have a little yawn? It's all the oxygen I'm not getting. You're in
talking
this
about
room.
Hammer? So we've got like three syllable lines, so you know, we gotta set up the song kind of accordingly.
Three syllable lines, what are you talking about?
Well, three,
tell me.
I mean, like, there was a time, so three, like a three count thing all the time through the bar.
Okay, but it's four time though. It's one,
well,
two,
yeah, but,
three,
but
four.
There's like three dominant, you know what I mean? And the next line,
When you rose
to the top, you know what I mean, kind of thing. So it's always like there's always three.
Okay, I hear four, but that's okay.
You hear four, but we sing three. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
You're saying there's like three vocal accents in there.
Yeah, accents. Okay. That's what it like. Yeah,
okay,
not syllable, but accents.
Yes, it's funny how it's someone like you who has written thousands and thousands of songs. Like, you just do your thing.
Yeah, it's just so natural. And when you try and say what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, it's, but you need a songwriting clinic for that.
I don't know if the clinic's the right word. Just like where three or four or six people get together.
What did you call it? A workshop? Or what did you say?
I might have said clinic. I don't know.
Yeah. See, we don't go to enough workshops to know, or clinics to know what they're called. You do. You go to a lot of clinics and workshops, don't you?
I've been to a harmonica
guitar
workshop.
Things. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think the last guitar clinic I went to was Blue Saraceno.
Oh, I was
remember?
At that.
Were you?
Yeah.
That was at the Lion's Head.
I don't know if I'd known you then, or did...
maybe not.
Did I, maybe?
I don't think so.
Was Mad Dog there?
Maybe. Possibly. Don't remember. But I remember Dan's truck got broken into that night.
Oh, really?
That just
there?
Came to me just night. Yeah, there.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it did suck.
Where was that?
Lion's Head, yeah.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yep.
It was cool, though.
He's an amazing guitar player, yeah.
Doesn't really seem to do much these days.
No.
Ever after those couple albums or something, really.
Didn't right.
Seem like he did anything, but...
Yeah. No.
There was a time when you rose to the top, sang sparkling gems, then to us comes a shock. And so we're going to kind of base this on a country feel?
Yep. You got to feel it. Yep.
Okay, so there'll be some major chording.
Got to be in the
and
major.
I really want to get a D7th in there.
Okay.
That's all I ask. Because Lippo just taught me that.
Taught him his new chord.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll go through a progression, something like... to a C. A...
Major.
And then kind of a G turnaround. Stay there. The Lippo's on the ukulele. I got lost. Mesmerized by Lippo's finger picking technique.
It's interesting.
It's exciting.
How you play ukulele.
Yeah.
Like, you watch different people do different things. Some people strum with just their index finger. They mm-hmm. do this kind of thing. Like, as if they're holding yeah. a pick, but they just use their index yeah. finger. Then some people are just, they use, like, the whole hand. They're like this and
I
like
do different
this.
Things. I use my thumb a lot on it, and I use a back...
like your top of your nails.
Yeah.
That's what I use. These two fingers here. It just feels comfortable, whatever mm-hmm. you feel comfortable with.
Sometimes I play over the top of the neck and everything.
Wow.
And I really want to, you know. You've been working on your harp tricks? Okay.
It's all natural.
So we kind of have an idea what we're going to do. And
we need a melody.
We do need a melody. So let's go through it and kind of sing along if we can. And we'll see what happens.
Well, let's hear what your melody ideas are as you.
So something like, there was a time when you rose to the top. You sang of sparkling gems, and to us comes a shock. So something along that lines. That lines. Those lines. That line.
When you rose to the top, you sang of sparkling gems, then to us comes a shot.
That's country-esque.
Yeah, I like that.
That's pretty good. So I think we got kind of an idea what we're going to do there. And let's move on to the chorus.
All right, let's make it hooky. Hook it!
Where'd they go?
I don't know.
Playing hooky.
Wow. They're gone.
Big JD and Lipo took off.
No, we're not taking off.
All you hear is a door. If I had a thing, I need a cart machine.
You used to have something, didn't you?
Yeah. Set up?
Little windows set up.
We've tried all kinds of things, but you need something with big buttons that are labeled so you can really see it, like quickly hit a p-ta-pish and know where everything is. Because it's hard. And we're not so much on the fly, right? Because like we pre-tape and everything, so
I mean,
could theoretically put that stuff in.
I think, I listened to Adam Curry, another podcasting. Mm-hmm. He's actually, some people call him the podfather because I think he was one of the first people to use the enclosure tag.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he uses an iPad, and he uses some kind of, and uses it like a cart machine, like big blocks.
Right.
So he has sounds that are just right there.
So he's got it patched in, but he's pre-taped, isn't he?
Pre-taped? No, he does it live.
Does he?
Yeah, it records it live, and you can stream it on Thursdays and Sundays at, it's 2 o'clock on, 2 o'clock Eastern, on Thursdays and Sundays. No Agenda with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the truth.
I like John.
And you know what the thing is with them is in the morning.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's what it's like in the morning. It's like, you know that I'm a listener of the No Agenda in the morning. So it's like, hey, in the morning. They don't say hi to each other. It's in the morning. In the morning to you, John, and in the morning to you, Adam.
That's nice. I like that.
That's what they do. But anyway, back to our song. We're going to write a chorus. Music.
That was Cream, by the way, isn't it? Something. Something goes on.
Purple pishes in the fingers of your man. That's Tales of Brave Ulysses.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Pishes rides with Ulysses.
It's Sibida to me. Which, when you don't know the lyrics, me and Dan just got a thing. We just sing Sibida.
That's nice. I like that. Do you ever hear the song Mumbles?
No.
I should. We'll get it in this show. Mumbles.
It's
just
like,
mumbling.
Is it like
it's an old jazz thing? I got it on a Verve Records, Verve Jazz album from way back. I'm not even sure who does it, but
it's mumbling.
Yeah, it's called Mumbles, and it is mumbling, and it's awesome.
It's nothing like Menomina.
Menomina?
Yeah.
Well, it could be.
Okay. Menomina. That's a Sesame Street tune. Obviously, you never heard of that. Menomina?
No. Oh, I probably have. Yeah, I've seen them all.
I'm sure you have.
Got the box set.
Did you watch it today?
No, I didn't.
Did you watch today's episode?
They're still doing that? But they are.
They're still doing that? Yes, of course they're still doing it. Okay. Why would you stop?
Well, I don't know. It's been going on.
The actors don't get any older. And Jim Henson's been dead for decades.
The actors do get, they change because they're different voice.
Sure, yeah.
Did you watch the Elmo documentary?
No.
The guy that did Elmo? That was great. Documentary
has nothing to do with Jim Henson.
Well, it does, yeah. But it was the guy that did Elmo.
What do you mean?
That was later. I don't think. I don't know. Did Henson do Elmo? Actually,
oh, he wasn't the dude who is Elmo. No,
right, right. This is the guy that was Elmo. It was a pretty interesting story how he got the gig and everything, and as a kid, basically, and it was cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, for sure.
You can probably find it on YouTube. I don't know if it's on. I think I might have watched it on Netflix way back, but anyway.
Everybody should have a Netflix account, by the way.
Sure. Netflix.com.
.ca for you.
They should give us some cash for that. So we're looking at doing a chorus now, right?
Right. So now, and do we simplify the chords? Do we just go back and forth from two chords, back and forth, and then just end it on something else? Or How do you?
Well,
go
no,
about
I think
it?
What's going to happen is peak away is very short because our chorus is peak away, turn the car around, turn the car around. So we got three there, but peak away is kind of like two accents.
Right. So you have to make one last like really long. Peak away.
No, not really.
That kind of thing.
But we can actually make that a little bit different than what the structure that we have already and do something shorter for the peak away.
Oh, I think that's the hook right there. If we write the right chords underneath the...
Which is shorter.
Peak away. That kind of thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think if we write the right chords underneath that, it's going to be wicked hooky.
But I'm thinking we'll make the peak away shorter musically than the next line.
Okay.
Turn the car around, then peak away, for fear we all may frown. So... Let me just, we're actually got a lot going on here. Move some things out of the way as we go. And so peak away we need a hook for. Yeah. And this is in G, but,
throw an F in there for fun.
That's nice.
Sure.
That's the second chord here is, I think,
what's the last thing you're playing? E?
Yeah, an E, but I have this going on.
Okay.
So what is that? You would know better, but
well, it's a G.
I don't know if either.
You're playing a G, but you're okay, with right, E yeah, in the bass. E.
But the second one is something I think from Plush. Or am I wrong?
The song Plush?
I don't know. It's an F sharp thing, but I want to say it seems to me that
if you play a, if you're going to play the G back. At the end with the E at the top, you play a D with an F sharp at the top using your thumb.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So you're
okay.
Dun,
it's getting all technical.
Dun, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how you get the descending bass line,
right?
But you're using the chords,
okay?
That you want to use
the descending bass line.
Well, that's what you're using, right? Like G, F sharp, E.
I like the term. How's that for peak away?
Peak away. I do. I
peak away. No, but we got to get it in that same groove, though, right? Because we're
right.
Like.
Right.
Peak away.
So we don't sing anything over the G.
Peak away. Yeah, we do a nice harmony there or something.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So that would be nice.
It's all the embellishments at the end.
The embellishments. Love it.
We're getting down to the rudiments of this.
We're getting to the embellishments, folks.
No, we're not. Not yet.
That reminds me of, like, mustard and ketchup and everything.
That's, what's
that stuff? Embellishments. The garnishment.
No, it's not garnishment. What is that stuff? That's condiments.
Yeah, there you go.
Condiments. I think
that tastes nasty. Okay.
I'm going to have to go very soon.
Like, oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, so, I actually got to wrap it up.
All we need is actually our other line.
Okay.
And then we can wrap things up and play a song or two. We'll leave the show today with Mumbles.
Awesome.
From the Verve Jazz, one of the Verve Jazz collections. Okay, so we need a second line.
Peek away. Turn the car around.
Oh, maybe we can do the same kind of. No, but we don't want to go minor there, do we?
Minor? Why not?
Oh, especially around the G, maybe. Around? No. Oh, what about back to the my
D7?
The D7th I love so much. Like, we're right back in, kind of, right?
Okay.
So it's like... Peek away. Yeah, but we're going to need to sing that one right away, though, so...
Peek away. Turn the car around.
Yeah, we don't have to sing anything on the last one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, keep them quiet.
So,
turn the car around.
in the thing. But we got to do it twice, right? Yes. Right. Sort of.
Peek away. Turn the car around.
I wouldn't go so long there.
Okay, yeah.
I'll cut that D7 string.
Peek away. Turn the car around. Peek away. For fear we all will frown.
For fear we all may frown.
Fear we all may frown.
And we're back in. So whether we stay on the G again for a second.
Yeah.
And then start singing again, you know, and maybe get a... That's a little too country.
Yeah.
But you're a little bit country, and I'm a little bit rock and roll, so...
I am not country at all.
Okay, I'll be country.
So have we recorded that?
Rock and roll.
Yes,
we're recording. Oh, my God. Yeah. Thankfully. So we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
So we got our verse chorus. We'll get a bridge together. We're going to record the song, and... by the
next show,
good graces of God.
Good God, Lord!
We'll, play the song for everybody on the next show, in which we'll showcase a bunch of our stuff that we've done, whatever that is.
Stuff music,
we've recorded, yeah. Music, yeah.
Yeah. What are we doing for
us
time?
And you and me? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah. Songwriting part 3. We'll
all right.
Play this one. We'll play the Architechnology and some King Friday and some Old Wicked Angel or whatever.
Sure. Sounds good.
And some ukulele stuff we've done. You know, the song that you'll record by yourself this week, too. Can you record a song?
I think so. You know, this whole thing has gotten me into it. And the whole
he's
songwriting.
Inspired.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would love to get into a songwriting circles, what they call them.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Don't ask me what made me think of that, but we got to go.
Mumbles, Terry Clark and Oscar Peterson, by the way. See you next week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
You wanna get me a song, you know it's all about me. You wanna be a song, you know it's all about me. You wanna be a song, you know it's all about me. You wanna be a song,
we hope you have a great day and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place for Big JD and Lippo in the morning.